Hello everyone, this is Jenny here, and I hope you're all staying safe and well. I'm writing this in Ormsby, on a very wet and windy morning. However, the sun is just beginning to break through the clouds, which I hope is a sort of metaphor for my message today. Let us start with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful creation and for the different seasons of the year. We rejoice in sunshine and showers, autumn colours and misty mornings, glorious sunsets and fantastic cloud formations. As we look out into our gardens, we know that even though we cannot be together in person today, we know that you are with us all, and that through your Spirit we are joined together as church. Please draw near to each one of us and help us to feel your presence with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Elizabeth has asked me to speak about hope, which is something that I'm sure we can all relate to, especially at the present time. With just a few days left of this second lockdown, I'm sure we're all hoping that the virus numbers will be coming down and restrictions will ease in the run-up to and during the Christmas period. Hope is something which is common to all of humanity. Everyone has their own hopes and dreams for themselves, their children, their friends and families. I wonder what you are hoping for today. Some of the things we hope for can be quite trivial. Things like, I hope the rain holds off until the washing's dry, or I hope my team wins the match today, although I know for some of you that will be far from trivial. I'm sure the children will already be hoping for lots of presents on Christmas morning. However, many of our hopes are much more serious. I made a quick list of the things that I'm hoping for and praying for at the moment. Here are a few of them in no particular order. I'm hoping for a successful rollout of the coronavirus vaccine and an end to the pandemic. That my sister will be able to visit and hold her newborn grandson soon. That businesses will be able to survive the lockdowns. That those suffering from depression and other mental illness will get the help that they need. That we'll be able to meet together as a church family and use the chapel again soon. That those awaiting a longed-for child will have their hopes fulfilled. To be able to visit and hug our families again. That delayed hospital appointments will be arranged and for positive results of medical investigations. And to be following the US election, that there will be an end to divisions and a fresh start made in that country. My list could have been much longer, and I'm quite sure you could write an equally long list. Hope is a very topical word at the moment. I seem to hear it everywhere, even in the unlikeliest of places. A few days ago, I heard a reporter speaking of the rise in the international money markets since the US election and with the prospect of a vaccine. She called this a hope rally in the markets. At the remembrance service from Westminster Abbey, the Archbishop of Canterbury spoke of daring to hope for peace in the world. So, what does the Bible say about hope? In Proverbs 13, verse 12, it says, "Hope deferred makes a heart sink." And we all know that feeling, don't we? When we hope for something for a long time, and it doesn't happen, we can become sad, confused and frustrated. However, Jeremiah 17 verse 7 tells us, "Blessed is the man or woman whose trust is in the Lord." For Christians, hope is very much intertwined with trust and faith. I'd like to read some verses from Romans 8, beginning at verse 22. "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we should pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And continuing from verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that passage, and it's one I've held on to very many times over the years when things have been tough. I especially love the bit where Paul talks about the Spirit praying for us when we don't have the words ourselves. I'm reminded of the years that we as a church at Light of Life hoped and prayed that we would be able to call a minister. There were many times when, as Proverbs states, my heart sank at the delays and disappointments. However, our trust in God and faithful perseverance resulted in him blessing us with the arrival of Elizabeth and Kevin during the summer. Our faith is severely tested at times, but we know this is nothing new. Many people in the Bible had to wait patiently for their hopes to be fulfilled. Abraham and Sarah had to hope and wait until she was a very old woman before God granted them their long-promised son. Hannah too must have spent many years hoping and praying and crying before Samuel was finally born. The Israelites in slavery must have almost given up hope of liberty before Moses led them out of Egypt. And then they had 40 years of wandering in the wilderness before entering the long hoped for promised land. Hoping and waiting is nothing new. For hundreds of years, the people of God hoped and looked for the coming of the Messiah as foretold by the prophets. Today is the first day of Advent, and I remember that it was on this day, a year ago, that Elizabeth came to preach with a view. What a lot has happened since then. You may remember that Elizabeth brought with her a set of Advent candles, and we lit the first one that morning. It's a shame we can't do the same this year, but maybe if you have some candles at home, you could light one today, and another each Sunday until Christmas, to remind yourself of the coming of Advent of Jesus. Let us hope and pray that next year we will be able to share in the lighting of the candles together. You will, I'm sure, be pleased to hear that the Sunday school children have received their usual chocolate Advent calendars and Christmas storybooks, so they haven't missed out just because we aren't meeting together at the moment. Shall we pray? Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for all in our family, or known to us, who need your love, especially at this time. Please draw near to them and give them your strength and peace. Help us all to put our trust and hope in you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. I would like to read Romans 15, verse 13, as a blessing for us all. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If I don't see you before, I send you my love and really hope that you all have a wonderful Christmas, albeit quite different to normal. Perhaps it will help us to better appreciate the real meaning of Christmas. Stay safe and God bless you all. We're going to end by listening to the worship song Cornerstone, which sums up much of what I've tried to say today. That when times are tough, Jesus is there for us. He is our anchor through the storm. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. For those of you who are not online, I'll include the lyrics with this letter.